Many years ago, back in April of 1993, upon my graduation night from the Nashville School of Preaching and Biblical Studies, there was a fellow by the name, many of you have met him, it was a fellow by the name of Jerry Maxwell and another gentleman named Tom Holland. At the end of the graduation, I walked out of the door and met with another congregation from Waycross Church of Christ. There were some elders there, and that was my first work outside of just the classroom. But I remember some words that was told to me that day that has stuck in my mind. These words that I have kind of held on to and tried to hold on to my whole preaching endeavor. I remember the words that Jerry Maxwell told me and Tom Holland standing beside him shaking his head. He said these words. He said, "Jerry, you need to be certain in your endeavors as a preacher to always," and he used this word, "stick with the scriptures." Make sure that you stick with the scriptures. Tom Holland tuned in and he said not only to stick with the scriptures, but you need to stand on the scriptures and stand behind the cross. Jerry Maxwell bounced it back and said, you need to be sure that when you are preaching that you speak the scriptures. That's what people need to hear. And certainly show the scriptures in our every single day walk of life. Do you agree with that statement? Absolutely. And not only for the ministers, but brothers and sisters, that's for every single one of us. I remember the excitement of the graduation evening. After 4 years of coming together there in that class, you know, part of it was over at David Lipscomb, and then rest of it was over at the Creve Hall building when they attached the School of Preaching there. I was finally graduating. I was finally receiving my commission to go out and to do what the Lord has commanded all of us to do in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And that is to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And to move even further than that, the Bible said to teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Finish that up for me. Thank you. Even to the end of age. Friends, there have been countless folks that have went to these preaching schools all over the world. We know that there are preaching schools everywhere and so many people involved in those, striving their very best to learn more about Jesus, to learn more about His love, to learn more about the saving power of Almighty God and how God's love and His gospel is for everyone. When we look at these passages of Scripture over in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I want us to remember that the gospel is for all. Say that with me. The gospel is for all. There were some that thought that the Jews were God's chosen people, and indeed that's a fact. But the gospel is not for the Jew only, but also for the Gentile, isn't it? The gospel is for everyone. Listen, I'm convinced that you and I should, every one of us should learn all that we can about Jesus. We should learn all that we can about the creation that God has already put into play, about the love of God, and also not only the love of God, but you and I should be studying about the severity of Almighty God. We should learn about the prophets. We need to know more and more about these prophets. We also need to know more about these minor prophets, and because that word minor prophet doesn't make those prophets less important, it's just the fact that there's less things being said about them. But we kind of name them as these minor prophets. We need to learn about that. We should learn more about the disciples of Jesus, which is you and I. We are disciples today, aren't we? The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, Acts chapter 11, down in verse 26. So we need to learn more about the discipleship. We need to learn more about our responsibilities as a disciple, as a follower of God, as a Christian. What is it that you and I should be doing today? We should learn about ourselves and how is it that we fit? How is it that we individually fit into God's plan for the world? We should learn how it is that we should treat our family. We should learn how it is that we should treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should also learn how we are to treat our enemies. Do you agree with that? And I believe today that Jesus set a perfect example on how to treat our enemies. When we put Jesus Christ upon that cruel cross at Calvary, Jesus still demonstrated love, didn't He? Jesus still was showing us how one should act if he's a godly individual. Here they persecuted Jesus. They mocked Him. They spat upon Him. They put that crown of thorns, crushed it into His brow. He was bleeding. He was dehydrated. He was stretched in such a position that he was having to fight for every single breath. And then eventually we know that Jesus yielded the Spirit, didn't he? We know that Jesus died for you and me. But before that, what did he say? And I've said it many times, and I've shared with you so many times before the words that Jesus said. When he opened his arms and he said, Father, come with me. Ready? Forgive them. And I love that. And brothers and sisters, I submit to you today that you and I need to have more of a forgiving spirit. Amen? You and I today need to have a stronger spirit of God in our lives. But we don't. I'm not saying that you don't individually, but we as a nation of people, where is the love? Where is the love in the church today? We need to get back to a smile on our face. And I'm talking to me this morning too. We got to get back to, it's a joy to walk into the doors of the Lord's church. Amen? We should be excited about that. We should be fired up about it because today I get to come here and worship my God. I get to come here today and learn more about my Father. I get to come here today and see the goodness of God, the mercies of God, the grace of God, and also the severity of God for those who are not following Jesus Christ, for those that continue to reject the invitation of Jesus, for those that know Christ, for those that were baptized into Christ but left that fold of safety. The world has become more attractive. I submit to you today that we need to get back to the basics. Amen? Say that with me. We need to get back to the basics of Christianity. We should learn all of these things as much as we can. But remember, we need to learn to love one another. I love the way God demonstrated his love for you and me. Bobby, he never just looked at us and said, I love you, and walk away, did he? Jesus didn't say, I love you, and leave you alone, Bobby. What he did is he put it into action. Jerry Jr. in Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated, thank you, he demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, we deserved the death sentence at that point, didn't we? While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ, what did he do? He died for us. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, a very familiar passage, one we teach all of our children, the scripture says, for God so that he gave his only, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Go to the next one, too. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn us, but that the world through him, we together, we might be what, congregation? We might be saved. How are we going to be saved? By our obedience unto God. How are we going to be saved today? How are we going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ? When we learn about him, when we apply the things that we learn in our life, and we walk in the newness of Christ every single day. I'm afraid that we are forgetting about this walking in the newness of life. When an individual is baptized for the remission of their sins, we talk about it quite often. He was buried with the Lord in baptism. He was raised from that water grave of baptism. Now walk in the newness of life. That's not a probationary period. That's not just for a certain amount of time. That means that we are to be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, down in verse 10. Friends, these things are extremely important. And it's important because God commanded you and me to learn and hold to his teachings. Sadly, so many preachers, so many teachers, so many students of God's word has slowly slipped away from the basics of Christianity. Slowly but surely have gotten so deep into certain things that God did not endorse that they may have forgotten the true basics of Christianity. Today's lesson is just a plea. It is a plea for all of us together to return to the basics of Christianity, to get back to the basics of what God wants us to do. So many folks in the world today need to be reminded, if I may, of first principles. I know that people wear down New Testament preachers, and I go, all you ever preach is the same thing over and over and over. That's because the need is still there over and over and over. Amen? We got to get back to the basics of Christianity. We've got to get back to doing what God instructs. I'm afraid that sometimes people make it too hard. God doesn't. People do. People do. It's very simple. Love God, keep his commandments, go to heaven. Is that am I telling you the truth? Does anybody else besides these three agree with that? Am I telling you the truth? Love God, keep his commandments, go to heaven. Reject God, go against his teachings, go to hell. It's just plain and simple. I choose heaven. Say that with me. I choose heaven. And brothers and sisters, let me go back and as we move into our lesson a little bit deeper, this is a plea. I'm begging all of us to look and to search ourselves and to be sure that we are not so caught up in theology, that we're not so caught up in this, that, and the other, that we are forgetting our first principles, that we are forgetting what God really wants us to do. I'm afraid that there are some Bible scholars out there that really don't know about living a Christian life. I know that there are people today that know the Scriptures but not applying the Scriptures. I can take my chemo, I can have chemotherapy at my home, but if I don't take it, I'm dead. Amen? You can have the Word of God and all this knowledge, but if you don't apply it, you too are dead in a spiritual sense. So I want to take a look this morning, just a few things that are required if we're going to live a faithful, fruitful, fitting, focused, fulfilling Christian life. If we're going to have that life, then these things are going to help us. The first point I want us to examine this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, down in verse 4. Here we go. The first point I want us to get to is this. When we talk about it's time to get back to the basics, let's all get back to the basics of God's Word. Leave man-made doctrine alone. Amen? Leave it alone. Get away from it. It doesn't work for salvation. It is God's Word that is good for salvation. Amen? It is sufficient for salvation. And there is no other word that can do just that. If we want a life that satisfies our Heavenly Father, then we must live according to His doctrine and get away from the doctrine of tradition. A lot of people follow tradition. This is what my mama did, my daddy did, my grandmother did. This is what all the people before me did. I hope they're in heaven. I hope they'll go to heaven. I don't wish anyone in hell. But the Bible says, if you love me, you're going to keep whose commandments? You'll keep my commandments. Well, that passage of Scripture in mind, Darlene, that's what I'm going to focus on. I want to focus on what God wants us to do, what He requires us to do. And I'm convinced that if we get back to God's Word and not follow what man says or what's favored by man, we'd be all right. So as a Christian, as a child of God, you and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have to feed, F-E-E-D, we have got to feed upon the milk of the Word, don't we? We've got to feed upon God's Word. We've got to know about God's Almighty God in His Word. I like to think about what Jesus said over in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, down around verse 4. In this setting, what you're seeing is that Jesus, He had been fasting for a while, hadn't He? I think it was like 40 days, 40 nights. Is that about right? All right, afterwards, the Bible talked about Jesus. He was extremely hungry, Jerry. And He was probably very vulnerable at that time. He was tired. He was lethargic. He was hungry. He'd been fasting 40 days, fasting 40 nights. And then guess who comes into the picture? The same one that comes into the picture when you're tired, when you're worn out, when you're vulnerable, when things are not going well. Guess who shows up at the picture every single time? Guess who it is? The devil himself, Satan himself. Well, guess what? He doesn't discriminate. He came after Jesus. He started trying to discredit God. He says, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'm going to give you everything you see. The devil's so stupid, he didn't realize that it already belonged to the Lord. Amen? The devil is so bad off, he didn't realize that it belonged to his Father, that it belonged to the Father of Jesus Christ. It belonged to God. God created it. But I love the way Jesus responds in Matthew 4:4. But He answered and said, give me the next three words. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus answered and said, the next three words, thank y'all. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This, brothers and sisters, is the manna from heaven, isn't it? This, brothers and sisters, is how you and I will survive, by the holy, inspired Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did He do? Did He give in? Did He satisfy His own desire? Did He satisfy His own need, if I may, at that point? I'm not sure if it's a desire. I better be careful using that word. But what He lived by, what He survived by, was the holy Word of His Father. I have to think about what the Scripture says over in the book of Deuteronomy, if you'd like to go there with me. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, we'll look at verses 1 through 3 together. Moses here is speaking to the folks of Israel, reviewing their history, if I may, before they cross the Jordan into their future. And also reminding them of God's command, which will be very, very vital, brothers and sisters, for their survival. They cannot do it without leaning and feeding upon the Word of God. You and I, in our journey, as we are crossing the Jordan, we will not make it to the other side without Christ. Amen? Without feeding upon the milk of the Word, you're not going to get to the other side of the Jordan. You might cross Mill Creek, but you're not going to get across Jordan. Amen? So I want us to make sure we see what's going on here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 1 through 3. The Bible says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble and to test you, to know, watch this, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments, give me the next two words, or not. Whether you're going to keep God's commandments or not. Now, let's take a look at verse 3. So he humbled himself, allowed, watch this, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. There it is again. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, you see why it's important that we feed upon the milk of the word? Do you see why it is so important that we go by God's word and not man's word? Do you see why it's so important that we gain all of our knowledge from God, from our Heavenly Father, from the inspired scriptures? I am not going to base my Christianity, to base my walk in life off of a commentary. Nothing wrong with that to try to help you as an aid. I'm not going to base it off what my mama said or what anybody else says. When I have today, God's given me the ability to read his word and to apply it in my life. If we want to be satisfying to the Father, then get back to the basics of his word. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? Get back to the basics of Christianity. I appreciate a while ago the reading that had taken place from Jeremiah chapter 15, 16 through 21. Don't forget Jeremiah's remarks in regard to eating God's word. When he felt sad, and I'll use this word, dejected, you know, he was put in a situation where he kind of felt alone, if I may. Jeremiah talked about how he sat alone with the joy of God's word, but he felt alone, if I may, because he was sitting with the assembly of those mockers. Jeremiah ate God's word, though, instead of just passing by or enjoying the passive pleasures of sin, didn't he? He was doing what the Lord had called him to do. Jeremiah 15, 16 through 21. I want us to also understand the promise to Jeremiah in this situation. Larry, I think you brought that clear, was his deliverance, wasn't it? Will God deliver his people? Has God delivered his people? Absolutely. And he's delivered, for those of us that are Christians today, he's delivered us. And how has he delivered us? Through his son. And his son is Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? He sent his son to die, to take your place and my place up from that cruel cross at Calvary. Jesus gave his life for you and me. He was murdered upon that cross. He gave his life, though, didn't he? For you and for me. If we, as a nation of God's people, expect deliverance, and that's what we're looking for, please stop putting all your confidence in who's going to be the president, who's going to be this and who's going to be that. Yes, those are very serious concerns. I'm not going to throw names out from the pulpit, but the reality is I hear more and more people talking about, well, if he gets it or she gets it, or he don't get it or she don't get it, all these different things is going to happen. And then we have people that's got all this confidence in whichever candidate that they're for. Oh, how I wish that we had that much confidence in God. Oh, how I wish that people would put that much faith in the Lord as they do somebody they don't even know. We've got to get back to the basics of Christianity. We've got to get back to the basics of God's love. We've got to get back to doing what God is calling us to do. Again, if we're the nation of God's people, expect deliverance, then be sure that we are feeding upon the milk of the Word. It's high time, brothers and sisters, that we get back to the basics of Christianity. And we do that by living according to God's word and not what man says. The second point I want to examine this morning is this. As we talk about it's time to get back to the basics, I'm convinced, according to the Bible and what we see going on around us, it's time to get back to the basics of our worship of God. You agree with that? We got to get back to our basics of our worship of God. You heard it correctly. It's high time that we get back to worshiping God, our Creator, and stop trying to serve or worship ourselves. Did you know that there are people in our world today that will literally, they may not be aware of their own manner of life, but they worship themselves? Do you know that? Well, I would go over there, but I went in there, but however, I went over there, but this one wasn't nice. I came over here and I didn't like this one. I went down there and the preacher preaches too long. I went over there, the preacher's too loud. I went over there, their parking's not good. I went on the other side and I didn't like the steps. They got 3 steps as you go into the building. They got all of these different things, and everything was about the word I. Amen? I. I think it's time that we get back to the basis of Christianity. I think it's time that we go and realize it's not about us. It's about our worship to Almighty God. Amen? And we've got to get back in that. You may not be guilty of it, but some people in our world today, some people that still call themselves a Christian, some people that frequent here every time the doors open, has slowly but surely gotten away from our true worship of our Heavenly Father. There are far too many people in the world that crave popularity. They crave being admired. And if I may use the word worshiped, that's what some people want. There's a thrilling example of one in the Bible that loved the praise of man. And because of that, we found out that he robbed God of the glory that he deserved. And we talk about the fellow named Herod over in the book of Acts chapter 12, 21 through 23. Herod was sitting on the throne giving an oration to the people. He was dressed up. He was decked out that day, buddy. I mean decked out. Everything was going pretty good for him. The people that were surrounding him kept saying, hey, this is a voice of a God, not of a man. He loved it. He was sitting there enjoying that worship, that praise, that, oh my goodness, look how awesome he is. Instead of him stopping, saying, hold on just a second, that glory belongs to the God. He absorbed it. He took it without correcting anybody else. And what happened to King Herod? The Bible says he was, help me here, eaten by worms and died. That's right, J.G. Why? Because he loved that worship of himself, didn't he? He loved it, and we know that there was a severe price to pay. That passage of Scripture, yes, it was a little bit off the subject of what I'm talking about in regards to this point and in regards to our worship of God, but I wanted to point out that yes, there are some still in our world today, just like it was with Herod, that still likes that praise of man. Listen, we've got to get back to the true basics of our worship of God. Sadly, so many people are living in the fast lane, if I may. They're so caught up with all these different things of the world that they're forgetting God in the process. I love what that great psalmist brought out in Psalm 46:10. Ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Watch this. Listen, Psalm 46:10. God's beautiful word says, be still. Be still. I love that passage of Scripture. Be still and wait on me. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. And I'll be exalted in the earth. Don't get caught up in all this junk that goes around. Don't get caught up on he likes her, she don't like him, and he does this and she does that, and this didn't happen and this did happen. Nobody cares except for one, that's the devil. Don't allow the devil to create division in your life. Amen. I love Teresa. I really do. I love Bobby. I like Teresa more than Bobby, but I do. I'm just kidding, Bobby. I love you. But even with that, seriously speaking, as much as I love them, I'm not living my life for them. They're not living their life for me. I'll do what I can to help them, and I could call them at 3 a.m, they'd help me. But we, together, we live our life for God. Amen? It's about the Lord. That's what it's all about. So we've got to get back. I know you're tired of hearing me say that, but you know what? We're going to keep saying it. We got to get back to the basics of worshiping the Father. The church, let me clear some things up. This church, this building we meet in, our worship service to God, I want us to understand and make it clear, we are not in the entertainment business. Amen? We're not. Sadly, we've got some people today that's calling themselves the churches of Christ. They've brought in musical instruments. They've got women in ministerial roles. They're doing all these different things that the Bible clearly tells us that that's not right. If you're going to break this Scripture and you're going to break that Scripture, you might as well break them all. Amen? If we're going to hold to this Scripture and hold to that Scripture, hold to all of them. If we're going to go to heaven, let's give it all we got. If you choose hell, give it all you got. The Bible doesn't give us our luxury of adding to and taking away. The Bible doesn't say that this Scripture fits good in your life because of tradition. you can do that one, or if this one crosses your grain, you can do away. No, it's not what the Bible does. God gives us a perfect instruction on how to get to that place called heaven. Get back to the basics. Let's quit complicating our worship of God. Amen? Let's get back to doing what He's calling you and me to do. We are not in the entertainment business looking for ratings, are we? Some of the places out there today, they're looking for television ratings and so on. Brothers and sisters, we are in the soul-saving business, looking for hungry souls to feed and hungry souls to save. That's why, brothers and sisters, we are here worshiping our God. I'm afraid that so many of the congregation of the Lord's churches has went way off from what the Bible instructs in regards to our worship service. Sadly, some of the services today, for me to walk into some of them, it seems more like a circus than it would the worship service of the Lord. When you walk into these places and you see and there's a woman up here and she's leading the singing, I love people singing. I like Madeline's singing. I love to hear her sing. I love to hear Velma sing. I love to hear Esther sing. I don't like Jerry singing, but I love to hear some of these folks singing. But that doesn't give them a right. I love Madeline, but she cannot come up here and lead us in a song, can she? There's some saying, yeah, Madeline, come on. We can't do that, can we? There's scripture that shows us what we are to do in our roles in worship service. But I'm afraid that many services have become just a big circus. I've often wondered, guys and girls, what the prodigal would come back to. And the reason I bring that up is there have been people, Velma's told me about people that was here years ago and has left, and she's working with them, trying to get them to come back, etc. I wonder what they would see. I wonder in their mind, if they were really faithful in the Lord's church at one time, years and years ago, and now they went back into the world and their conscience is piercing them. They realize, hey, I got to get back. Things aren't right. I want to go back to the church and I want to be restored and I want to walk again the newness of life. I'm scared to death, Jared, of what people's going to see when they walk in. And I'm not talking about the torn carpet. I'm not talking about the tan wall of this. I'm talking about, what do they see in our worship today? Would the prodigal walk in and go, what in the world has happened? When that prodigal comes into the building, will they see a group that is welcoming them without a judgmental tongue? Will they see a group of people that will open their arms up and bring them in and help them in every way we can? Or will it be, oh, I remember him. Oh, I remember her. Are we going to have people here that's going to be sharp-tongued? Are we going to have people here that's going to give you that frown like my granddaughter does when I don't give her something? Are we going to have people doing that? Listen. It's not just what that prodigal sees, but what does God see when He looks at our worship of Him? Are y'all getting this? What does He see? Let's get back, seriously, to the basics of what we're supposed to do. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must do what? Please remember, the service is about our worship to our Heavenly Father, our worship to God. And as I said, I wonder what many people see when they look into the congregations of the Lord today. I know for a fact that the Lord must be very displeased when He sees these congregations with the name tag, the Churches of Christ, the building filled with pianos and organs and all that, because the Bible does not give us one single example of doing that in the New Testament church. Amen? Not one. Amen? All right. So, and the Bible doesn't allow some of the things that we see going on. Far too many preachers today, and I've said it, I know you're probably tired of hearing this, I don't really care, but far too many preachers are so concerned about pew pressure, filling up the pews. We'll do anything to get you in. Maybe it's not exactly the way God says, but if we get them here, maybe they'll learn something that'll trigger it. Maybe they'll learn something that'll make them become a Christian. I hope not the way you're doing it. If it's going against God already, I don't want them to learn it that way. Amen? We want them to learn it God's way. I appreciate a conversation Tony Paulin had a few weeks ago when we were talking about his conversion, how he became a Christian. Tony said, Jerry, I started listening. I started studying the Word of God. I had something that happened in my life that warranted a change. And I listened to what the Bible says. I followed what the Scripture says, and he's here. He's setting an example for his family. We've got to get back to the basics of our worship of God. Amen. Third, final point. This lesson's going home with you. It's time to get back to the basics of, here we are, ready, of honoring and living according to the will of God. We need to honor God with our lives, yes or no? We need our actions, everything we say and do, needs to be as if we were an ambassador for the Lord, because we are ambassadors for God. It's no surprise to hear me talk, brothers and sisters, about this today. It's high time. It's high time that we get back to the basics of honoring God with our lives, meaning that we are to live our lives according to His will, not our desires, but God's desire. If you go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, 1 through 12, let's share this together. Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days is long life, and the peace they will add to you. Let not mercy, truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor, high esteem, in the sight of God and man. I love this next verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your... That's right. All of your heart. Thank you, Ethan. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Go to 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes, for the Lord, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. There it is. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord. Say that with me in verse 9 of verse 3. With your possessions and with the first fruits, all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. Here's why. Go to 12. For whom the Lord loves, He also what? Just as a father, the son in whom He delights. We got to get back to honoring God with our lives. We as Christians, you and me, have a responsibility. We have a biblical injunction to live according to the Scripture, to live as close to the Scriptures as possible. We are to walk as Jesus walked. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps." Verse 22, "Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth." James chapter 4, over in verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Didn't God describe our generation today? But He's telling us what we are to do to get it right with the Father. As many of us, let me reword that, how many of us, if I may, gathered together right here today are truly living our lives for God, not here at 613, but outside the double doors. When we look at our own lives and we search our own souls and we look at our own activities, we listen to our speech, we watch the way we act. We watch the way we react. We check on things in our lives. And we, as I heard Tika say before one day, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. The reality is, how are we truly living our lives outside of this double door, right? Are we honoring God by the things we say and do? Are we honoring God in doing what He's calling us to do? By the company we keep, are we honoring God? Are we honoring God with our lives today? By the movies that we view, are we honoring God? By the places that we frequent, are we honoring God? By our attitude toward other people, especially our enemies, are we honoring God? By the music that you let go into your ears and into your soul, are we honoring God? The grudges that we keep, are we honoring God with these grudges? No. When we possess a spirit of unforgiveness, are we honoring God? Absolutely not. By our speech, are we honoring God? No. By our actions and our reactions, are we honoring God and living according to His will? Or are we just making everything about us? Everything is fine. Don't you dare go against my grain. Everything is fine as long as you believe the way I believe, see the way I see, and agree with me in everything. Everything going to be all right. Well, that's not God's plan for us, brothers and sisters. We got to get back to the basics of honoring God in our lives. Not honoring Bobby, not honoring Rob, but honoring God. Amen? We are to live our lives not honoring mankind, but honoring Almighty God. I didn't give my life for you, Jesus did. You didn't give your life for me, Jesus did. I don't have the authority from heaven, Jesus does. God gave him the authority. What shall be done in heaven shall also be done where? All authority has been given to me from corporate office. That's what Jesus is saying. Corporate gave me this authority. I'm not going against him. I choose not to go against our Heavenly Father. I want to choose this day and from this day forward to honor God with my life. We as a nation of God's people have gotten so far off track in regards to Christianity. There's some really vile, let me use that word boldly, there are some vile things that's going on in the Lord's church today. There are so many vile things taking place in the lives of so many so-called Christians today. What about the future generation of the church? Are we not concerned about it? Are we not concerned that, you know, in years to come, will there be a congregation here at 613 James Avenue? Will there be the Lord's church today? Are we doing what the Bible talked about in Joel chapter 2? Are we doing what God is calling us to do? Are we teaching the next generation so that they can teach the next generation? So they can teach the next generation? Or are we just, as I said many times before, are we just keeping the aquarium watching the pretty fish? If we don't become fishermen of men, the tank's going to get dirty real soon. Do you understand? People die. People pass away. Leaders of the church today are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Let me tell you something really rough. Did you know that right now, the people that I graduated with, I found, and I'm not exaggerating this to try to make a point, I'm serious, one out of my graduating class is still preaching the gospel. One, besides me. Is that not scary? When you get, now there are people that will show up to talk. There are people that will show up. You give them a paycheck, they'll show up for you. But you better hope and pray to the Heavenly Father above that what they preach and teach is coming out of the Bible. Some of the ones that I graduated with and went and visited, I'm not trying to be critical of them, but thank God they're not trying to preach anymore. Because some of the things that they was presenting to the congregation, because they were more concerned about getting that check and having free parking, it was not according to Scripture. Let's get back honoring God with our lives. The vile things that are taking place, even in during the worship services of the day, is ridiculous. What about our children? Are we teaching them about honoring God with our lives? Or are we teaching them how to do what God is calling us to do? Are we doing these things? Are we teaching our youth today and our adults today about living for the Lord? Are we teaching our kids today and grandchildren about honoring Him? Are we training up our children in the admonition of the Lord so that the church will have a future and so that they may too go to heaven? Wouldn't it be nice, as I get ready to close, wouldn't it be nice if our younger folks today knew as much about the Bible and Christian living as they do the electronic world and these tablets and these game boards and so on? I just pray today that there'll be enough folks in our world in this next generation, brothers and sisters, that will know enough about the Lord and His church, to know enough about the Lord and His business, so that the church will continue to grow. Some of the young people today, and I'm not stereotyping you, but some of the young people today can tell you about IT, they can tell you about computers, they can tell you about this, that, nothing wrong with that. I'm just suggesting this. Wouldn't it be nice if our young people today that had all this great knowledge of all the video games and the game boards and this and that and the other, how awesome would it be if they knew that much about God? Wouldn't that be cool? But we're not doing it. Those things have become a babysitter. I've preached on that for years and years, and I've been ridiculed for saying it. I don't really care. I'm honoring God, not you. That's my job. I'm honoring God. I'm going to tell you what He says. I do it with love. The elevation of my voice is not in anger. It's just a passion I have for making sure that we understand what God's Word says. Is that okay? All right, good. So, there's an alarming number of folks today that are, and let me, I got to share this with you. I wanted to close, but I can't. I got to share this. How sad is it, Larry? How sad is it, Jared, that we have so many people today quitting church? How sad is that? Pretty sad, isn't it? We have way too many people quitting church over some of the dumbest reasons I've ever heard in my entire life. But I'm not the guy that you're honoring. God is. I wonder, and I've got so many people on my prayer list that I'm praying will come back to the Lord's church. I wonder what these individuals are going to say on Judgment Day. Well, Lord, I know that you called me to do this, but Tom and Jerry sermons really ticked me off, so I just said, the heck with that. I won't go back. I know, Lord, that I'm facing you on judgment, and I feel like I'm going to be rejected. And, you know, I just felt like the sporting events were much more important than your service. Sorry about that. I think you let me slide. I know that I didn't study the Bible, as you say, but I was busy watching television in Green Acres. You know, they had all of these shows going on, and then Sanford and Son had it, and Gilligan's Island had this, you know, three-week thing. I just couldn't. Are you getting the picture? We get so caught up in all these other things, we're forgetting God. What are you going to say on Judgment Day? If we're not honoring God with our lives, we're honoring the devil, amen? So, please, please, a plea from the Scriptures, a plea from God. Let's get back to the basics of making sure that our life, that we're honoring God with our life. Where are you at today? I know where you're at physically. You're right here, 613 James Avenue. But where are we at spiritually? Are we where we need to be? Today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, you're not. I beg you in the light of the Scriptures to get things right with Christ. I know I've told you this, not as a scare tactic, but as reality. Being in the mortician business, I see things over and over and over. Young people, some are taking their own lives, some are being killed, some have drug overdoses, some have health issues. But I see people 16, 18, 19 years old, 20. We buried a lady the other day, 101 years old. Death is no respecter of person or age. Amen? Death is coming. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed once for man to die, but after this, I don't want you to die. I don't really want to die either. But what's more important is I want to help you get prepared for judgment. I want us to help each other be prepared for judgment. Judgment's coming. Quit putting God off. Get it right. So many people are just waiting. They're waiting and waiting. Waiting on who? Waiting on what? I know that our lives sometimes can be in a wreck. There's no better place to be. If you are in spiritual intensive care, guess what? This is the hospital. Amen? So this is a place where you need to be. When I came to this congregation 10 years and a week ago, I met with the brethren back there. I said, don't know if you want to hire me or not. Larry says, why? James Newberry looks at me real weird. And I said, because I'm in the SICU unit. They just kind of frowned at me like, what? I said, I'm in the spiritual intensive care unit. I'm in trouble. I've been preaching for 14 years at College Grove. And the last few years of that, I wasn't a minister. I was just doing my job. You getting this? I was doing a job. I drove there. I went in, I preached a sermon. I got tired of preaching those sermons and putting them together. I just started doing a bunch of reruns, lost interest. I resigned. They said, don't resign. I stayed a couple more years. But when I came here, I was so far away from where I needed to be. But thank the congregation here. Thank you so much for working with me through those things, helping me get out of the SICU unit. But now I'm in step down. I'm not where I need to be. I'm just in the step down unit. But I still petition your help today. Amen. We're here for each other to honor God. If you're not a Christian, become one here, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live faithful unto death. We'll help you. Today, if you are a Christian, you know, man, I haven't been doing right, and I want my life right with Jesus before I hit that highway out there. Let us know. We'll help you any way we can. If you need anything, come now. It's together we stand.